This is the time of year when we're all getting ready to spend some time with family, whether they be coming to us or whether we be traveling to them. And it's a time of year that we often think about the spirit of this time of year, and that's what I want us to discuss and study this morning. The title of our sermon this morning is The Spirit of Christmas. Now, I'd like to take really advantage of the present state of mind to consider some of these things and maybe to discuss and learn and study together and teach some greatly needed lessons. In Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, Paul basically tells the Galatians that he's afraid of them. He's afraid of them because they have been observing things that were observed as religious under the old law. And he says to them, beginning in verse 9 of Galatians chapter 4, "But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." Now friends, although most denominational churches in the religious world observe December 25th religiously as the birthday of Christ, friends, we don't advance that idea. We don't endorse that idea. No doubt, many wonder why, and may even ask, are we anti-Christ or anti-Christians? Friends, I want us to consider some things. And number one this morning, I want us to notice maybe some reasons together while we do not observe Christmas as a religious holiday. Now, most authorities agree that this date, December 25th, that is, could not be, absolutely could not be, the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For one thing, it is the height of the rainy season in Judea. And I want you to look at something with me in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, just as our Lord is born here in Luke chapter 2, I want you to notice with me verse 8. Luke 2 and verse 8. In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, we read, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Now friends, at this time of year, shepherds would have their flocks in protected places where they would not need to be outside with them at this particular time of year. And so they're not, this could not be Jesus Christ's actual birthday. And that fact, friends, does not coincide with other biblical passages or secular account of his birth. It could not be December 25th. Something else for us to consider as far as why we do not celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday is that it is paganistic in origin. Now think about this. It is the outgrowth of the heathen observance of winter solstice as the birthday of the sun or sun god Mithra. It was not observed until Liberius, who was the bishop of Rome, ordered December 25th to be observed as the birth of Christ in 354 A.D. You see, what was happening at that time is the so-called Christians were continuing to observe these pagan holidays. They were participating in the festivities and so forth. And to get that to stop, this bishop decided, hey, we'll put the birth of Jesus on this time and we'll celebrate that to coincide with these pagan deals. So that's two things as to why we do not celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday. But friends, the main reason we do not observe Christmas religiously is there is no authority. There is no direct statement, no implication, no example to observe any day as the birth of Christ. Friends, there are several things that we need to remember. We've been given everything that we need religiously. Say, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, we read there, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Friends, there's probably a very good reason that we don't know the day of Jesus' birth. Just like there's a very good reason that we don't have several things, the original copies of each one of these letters. Men would set them above all else, as they have done with a falsely proclaimed day of birth for Jesus Christ. Now, Colossians 3 and verse 17 tells us that anything that we do religiously, all that we do, needs to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In Matthew 15 and verse 9, we read, "But in vain that it worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And of course, our earlier passage of Galatians 4, 9 through 11. Now friends, the key here, don't miss this, please, is the religious significance placed upon this day. I want you to turn with me very briefly to Romans 14, beginning in verse 5. Romans 14, beginning in verse 5. Now, I will say that there are some that carry this idea, I believe, a bit too far. We're not to reserve Christmas as a religious holiday, so we ought not have a Christmas tree. We ought not give presents. We ought not eat candy canes. We ought not have poinsettias in our homes and so forth and so on. Now, friends, I want you to notice, in response to that, Romans 14, beginning in verse 5. "One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth to God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Now, friends, the reason I bring this up, there's nothing wrong with someone having a Christmas tree and decorating that. That was a pagan idea way back when this all first got started, so we shouldn't have a Christmas tree. Friends, what do you call today, Sunday? Do you realize what that day is named after? A pagan god. Same thing with Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. All named after pagan gods. Friends, we have to be consistent, for one thing, in our thinking. And we've got to make sure that we keep these things in their context. Now, friends, while we do recognize that the birth of Christ was indeed a great event, we're not commanded to observe His birth. But rather, as we've just done, we are commanded to observe His death every first day of the week. Though the religious significance attached to this day may be wrong, The characteristic spirit of this day is fine. And really should be encouraged not just for a couple of weeks out of the year, friends, but it should be ever manifest in our life. Let's talk about this spirit that surrounds this particular time of year. We see one thing, the spirit of giving. It's abundant at this time of year. The Christmas season is known as a time of giving. You have people that are outside stores ringing bells asking for donations to help the needy at this time of year. Where is that the rest of the year? Folks asking for donations to help the needy. The spirit of giving abounds at this time of year. Friends and relatives and loved ones exchange gifts. Some churches give baskets of food and packages to the poor and needy. Many give liberally to the church at this time of year, while the rest of the year they may be rather frugal when it comes to their giving and to the Lord's church. And friends, all that is fine, but why should that spirit not prevail at all times? Jesus says in Matthew 26 and verse 11 that the poor are ever with us. He says, "For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always." I want you to notice with me Matthew 25. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. Here we have the scene of judgment laid out for us. And I want you to see the scene that Jesus describes and how He describes it. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory," beginning there in verse 31, "and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand with the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Six things here the Lord says we ought to look after. We take care of those this time of year, don't we? What about the rest of the year? It ought to abound in the life of a Christian. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, or saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Notice Jesus' answer. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Friends, it seems that some believe that just a couple of weeks out of the year can atone for an entire year of neglecting these things. This is to be part of the life of a Christian, this spirit of giving. You know, this spirit of giving, you know, churches, friends, need regular contributors. We read that in 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Paul writes there, Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Friends, the first day of the week comes every week. We ought to be giving as we prosper. Same thing, 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. But friends, when it comes to the spirit of giving, this spirit of giving characterizes the entire Christian life. We need sometimes be reminded of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't have to. He didn't have to do anything to try and redeem mankind to Himself. After all, it was man's choice to sin against God. But He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God was in the spirit of giving, wasn't He? Christ gave His life. In John 15, beginning in verse 13, we read, Greater loveth no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Friends, think about that. We are the friends of Jesus Christ if we do as He has commanded. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul writes these words. We sing it in song at camp. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and don't miss the last phrase, and gave Himself for me. Jesus was in the spirit of giving. Revelation 1 and verse 5 says the same thing. And friends, we are to, as Christians, live or give our lives for Him. We're in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul writing to the Roman brethren, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Our entire lives are to be dedicated to God, to Christ, to living for Him, holy, acceptable unto God, Paul says, which is your reasonable service. He doesn't ask anything of us that is unreasonable. This is our reasonable service. Why? Because Christ died for us. He died for the remission of our sins. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect complete, mature will of God. Friends, the spirit of giving ought to be a spirit that permeates the Christian life every day of the year, and not just at this time of the year. What about the spirit of receiving? You know, it's this time of year on Christmas we'll gather around the table, we'll eat together, and then we'll oftentimes we'll sit down and we'll exchange gifts. You know, all like to receive gifts. It proves to us that others love and are thinking of us. In receiving the gift, friends, you know, we receive the giver. You know, that's oftentimes when someone gives you something, you know, you may at first refuse it because you don't want to accept charity, you know. Do you ever notice the look on that person's face when their gift is rejected? Because in rejecting their gift, what have you done? You've rejected them. We like to receive gifts. It proves then, friends, that they love us, they're thinking of us. But friends, what about on this end of it? We expect, don't we, and others expect, that we show appreciation for the gifts that we receive. Think about this. Friends, we as Christians, we are daily recipients of gifts. Daily. Gifts that God gives us each and every day, and He shows His love for us in those gifts. We were blessed to be able to wake up this morning and to come together and to sing songs of praise unto our Maker and our Creator. We were blessed this morning to be able to continue to draw breath, to be able to look out and see the sun shining. And at intermittent points in this particular part of the country, we're blessed with a little bit of rain. We're blessed with the ability to work so that we can provide for our families for the food that we eat, the clothes that we wear, the cars that we drive, the air conditioner that we pay for each month, the TVs that we watch, the couch that we sit on. Friends, all of those are blessings from God because you have the ability to go and earn the money to pay for that. Those are gifts from God. Do we show our appreciation for those gifts? Do we realize that when we receive those gifts, we receive God? Do we appreciate them? Do we show it in our prayers? Friends, do we show it in our lives? Do we show our appreciations by how we use these gifts for the glorifying of God, for the edifying of others? Or, friends, do we, like the Israelites, manifest ingratitude and murmur and complain about everything? You know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, admonished them against such. He said, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Friends, we have the spirit of receiving, but we ought to show the appreciation that we have for God giving us these gifts. Another spirit of Christmas that abounds at this time of year that ought to be manifest in all points of our Christian lives is the spirit of forgiveness. The spirit of forgiveness. There are many examples of this spirit at this time of year. Things that would cause quarrels at other times of the year are lightly cast aside. You know, many times you may be in the grocery store and you might accidentally bump into someone. At any other time of the year, it's a big deal. Want to pick a fight about it. But at this time of year, many times you bump into someone, they'll tell you they're sorry for it. It's the spirit of forgiveness. No, you know, no problem. The same thing oftentimes with wrecks or slights or sometimes even estranged family. Friends, is not this a great spirit, the spirit of forgiveness? Friends, this is a fundamental doctrine of Christianity. The spirit of forgiveness is, why then should it be lacking at other times? I want you to consider with me Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, beginning there in verse 21. Jesus defines to us this spirit of forgiveness. And it's one that we would all, I'm sure, do well to work on. In Matthew chapter 18, beginning of verse 21, we read, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Now I want you to think what Peter's asking here. Peter, at one point, he seems genuine in his question. But then on the back end of the question, it seems that he kind of wants the Lord to agree with him. I only have to forgive my brother seven times and then I can be done with him. I can write him off. Peter here, he's going to get a rude awakening. I want you to notice what the Lord says. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, friends, don't bother doing the math because that's not a number that literally Jesus meant. He didn't mean that you forgive him 490 times. That's not what he meant. He meant as many times as he asked forgiveness, you forgive him. We continue to read there, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of its servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, a payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, friends, here's the big thing in this parable. The first servant that came unto his Lord owed 10,000 talents, the Bible says. This was a debt that this man could not, and I think this is significant, this man could not have paid that debt on the regular wage at that particular time in history. Could not have paid that debt in seven lifetimes. Now think about what Peter had just asked. Shall I forgive my brother seven times? It would have taken this man more than seven lifetimes to pay this debt. And then he goes to his servant, one of his fellow servants, who owes him 100 pence, 2 months' wages. 2 months' wages. And has him thrown into prison until he can pay the debt. Do you think they got Peter's attention? This spirit of forgiveness that we are all to have as Christians. Notice the end of this particular passage in verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts. Now friends, we can say to someone that we forgive them, but if we continue to take that little thing and we dangle it over their head, have we forgiven from the heart? Not at all. Jesus says, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Friends, the spirit of forgiveness, while it abounds at the time of Christmas, it ought to abound within the Christian's life every day. What about the spirit of kindness, the spirit of fellowship, the spirit of love? We have many foundations that are especially active during this time of year. And we see the spirit of kindness, parents for their children for their parents. We see this spirit of fellowship, the spirit of love for every man. Employers for employees and vice versa. Friends for friends, even between enemies. And some will even consider calling a truce during times of fighting. But again, why, friends, why should this spirit not always prevail in the life of a Christian? Those that profess to follow Christ. And then, finally, number six, the spirit of happiness. people this time of year seem to be bubbling over with happiness. We hear singing, humming, whistling, so forth and so on. But friends, is that not the spirit of Christianity? Paul writes on a couple of different occasions that we are to be content with whatever we have. Be content. Jesus, in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, says that a man is his followers are to be happy. Blessed is the man, he says several times. He is to be happy. In John 14 and verse 1. We see a great reason for us as Christians to be happy. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Friends, do we believe in God? With all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds, with all of our strength. And if that's the case, what reason do we have not to be happy? Every day of our lives. We ought to look forward to going out and teaching others about this spirit of Christianity, the spirit of Christ. And in Philippians 4 and verse 4, we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Friends, as Christians, we ought to be the happiest people upon the face of this planet. We have a Lord and Savior that thought enough of us to go to the cross and shed His blood so that we can have remission of sins. There's no reason for a Christian not to be happy. Friends, do we see? Do we truly see what the true spirit, or that the spirit of Christmas, as we have entitled it, is in reality? The true spirit of Christianity. The spirit of giving, the spirit of receiving, the spirit of forgiveness, the spirit of kindness, fellowship and love, and the spirit of happiness. Friends, all of those are to embody the Christian. And every day of his life, every day of the year, not just a special time of year. You know, as we look at the world at this time of year for 1 or 2 weeks, man tries to live up to the standards of Christ. Friends, how much better would the world be if we lived up to those standards every week and every day? How much better the world because of Christ and the price that He paid so that we could one day hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." May we as Christians, friends, embody this spirit throughout our lives. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, if we would be Christians, if we would have this spirit every day of our lives, there are certain things that God says we must do. We are to believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth and bled and died for the remission of our sins. We are to repent of those sins, confess them before men, and be baptized, immersed in water, to come in contact with that blood so that our sins will be washed away. Friends, our question for you this morning is, are you here having never done those things? Would you put Christ on in baptism this morning so that He could add you to His church, His body, where salvation is found? Would you do that this morning? Friend, are you here having done that at some point in the past? Where is your life now? Have you embodied the spirit of giving, of receiving, of forgiveness, of fellowship and love and kindness? If not, why not? Friend, if you've gone astray, if you find yourself on the outside looking in, why don't you come home? Be His again. The Lord has not moved. He awaits with open arms. He wants you to come home. Friend, if you have a need, whether to obey the gospel, whether to repent of sin, friend, or if you just need the prayers of the church, We ask of you, we beg of you, will you come now while we stand and sing?